Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. I'm set to go here on this Thursday edition of the show. We have a fun one lined up today. We're going to mix it between local and national. Last night, the Helper Merchants had an opportunity to lock down the number one seed out of the Central Division. Things did not go as planned. Helper suffering back-to-back losses to Salem Hills. But they're still on their way to the state tournament. They can get things moving in the right direction. No harm, no foul from last night. We'll be joined by Dakota Cincinnati's first-year manager of the Helper Merchants. A next segment here on the show, we'll recap last night's game and talk about what the team needs to work on ahead of the state championship tournament. Also on the show today, we're going to be joined by Anthony C. Hall. If you're not too familiar with the name, I guarantee you will be by the end of the show. 25 years ago, the movie Blue Chips, starring Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, and Nick Nolte. It made its debut. Anthony Hall played Tony, the point shaver for Western. Very iconic scene between he and Nick Nolte when Nolte's character goes into his dorm room and gets the confession out of him. Really ties the entire movie together. He actually is the starting focal point of that entire movie. He's going to join us on the show today because, again, we're celebrating 25 years since that movie's release, and still to this day, it's one of my favorite basketball movies. And one of the things that I become more and more impressed with is how well it's aged. 25 years ago, that was not a popular movie because there was really no hero. You felt for Nick Nolte's character, Pete Bell, because he's trying to run a clean program. Unfortunately, after winning national championships, the expectations are sky high, and he has to resort to cheating, paying players to come and play. And at the end of the movie, his team knocks off Bobby Knight's number one Indiana squad, and then he just quits. And so it wasn't as well perceived when it came out. 25 years later, we are still talking about that movie. I thought Shaq was great in it. I thought Penny was great in it. I thought Anthony C. Hall was great in it. And I'm extremely excited to get him on the show today to talk about the experience of making that movie and to get his thoughts on how it is aged and how he looks back on that film 25 years later. And also some of the stories from behind the scenes. I think you'll find this interview very interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Anthony C. Hall will join us on the show in just a bit. Let's move over to the national scene. We had so much day baseball today. I love day baseball, but it's difficult to get things done. I'm addicted to this sport right now. I'm addicted to Major League Baseball. A couple of finals from earlier. The Marlins topped the Padres 4-3. Brian Anderson doubled home the winning run with one out in the ninth inning to help the Marlins to their 36th win. The Phillies topped the Dodgers 7-6, a four-run seventh inning by the Phillies that propels them over the Dodgers. Bryce Harper tied up the game, and then Rhys Hoskins helped put the Phillies in control for good. Final score also earlier today, the Red Sox get the best of the Blue Jays. Chris Sale and two relievers combined on a two-hitter to help lift the Red Sox in that contest. The Royals top the White Sox. Chesler Cuthbert and Jorge Soler homered in a five-run third inning. And the Kansas City Royals pick up their 36th win of the season as well. As far as games going on right now, we go to the sixth inning. The Rays and the Yankees are tied 2-2 in an important game. The Rays right now, four back of the Yankees in the win column. They're eight back in the loss column, though the Yankees have a stranglehold on that AL East race. Still to come tonight, the Tigers will take on the Indians at 5:10. We get the Cardinals and the Reds, as well as the Nationals and the Braves. 6 o'clock hour, the A's will take on the Twins. At 7 o'clock, it's the Astros Angels. 7:40, Brewers Diamondbacks. And then at 7:45 tonight, we get the Mets and the Giants. And that's a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard and really what's happening right now in the national sports front. We'll give you the local sports recap. And again, coming up on the show today, we're going to be joined by Dakota Cincinnurus of the Helper American Legion team and Anthony C. Hall, one of the many known actors in the movie Blue Chips, as we talk about the impact that that movie has had on the game of basketball 25 years later. That's all coming up on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Talk local baseball. And the American Legion season is hitting the home stretch. The regular season came to a close last night. As you heard during that last break, Helper dropping not one but two games. They'll have an opportunity to get back on the winning track. Now it's a fresh season as we enter the state tournament next weekend for Helper. Joining us right now in the studio to talk about the end of the regular season and what lies ahead, we have manager Dakota Cincinnurus. And Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you in. Thank you again.
Yeah, it's always great to be back. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Every time you come in, we have a little bit to talk about. Last night was a very important night for this baseball team. You guys had an opportunity to solidify the number one seed out of the Central. Didn't necessarily happen. Back-to-back losses against Salem Hills. And you and I have talked about this all year, Coach. I mean, when you go toe-to-toe with some of these upper echelon teams, there's some good baseball players there. And any night, anyone in this division is capable of picking up a win or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And we witnessed that firsthand last night. Salem Hills is a good team, and that's the kind of caliber teams we're going to be facing coming into the state tournament. But in my mind, I don't think they're any better than we are. We just didn't show up ready to play yesterday, and it hurt us. Like you said, we could have solidified first place had we at least won one of those ball games. But we dropped them both, and now it's kind of up in the air where we'll end up. But moving forward, all we know is we have to go win. Wherever we're going to go, whoever we're going to face for the state tournament, we've got to show up, be ready to play, and you know, hit the baseball, field the baseball, and pitch it, and be positive with what we're doing and win some baseball games.
The good news is you know you're going to the state tournament because this weekend we have the best 2 out of 3 playoff for those teams that weren't in the upper half of the standings. So you guys will get a bye this weekend. But with that being said, before we talk about last night, what do you do over the bye week? Again, it's about a full week you guys get off, right?
Yeah, it is. We have this whole weekend off. We're going to do practice tonight, practice tomorrow, and then try to practice next week. But we just need to get back to doing what we do. I mean, I've said it before when I've been on here, you know, we just need to get back to playing helper baseball. And I think that's having fun, making it fun. And sometimes we just try to find ways to make the baseball game hard. I mean, it's hard as it is. We don't need to make it any harder on ourselves. I talk to our guys about simplifying it and having fun and playing loose and playing relaxed. But there's a time to do that, and there's a time to be serious and time to, you know, focus up and we need to get back to being focused this next week that we have off and just being prepared for what lies ahead of us.
We'll talk about last night's game. First off, was it 7-3 was the first loss, and then 12-0 in the second contest. Earlier in the week, I had talked to you over text message, and you had mentioned that the bats have been inconsistent. Now, obviously, you give up 7-12 runs. I mean, that's a lot of runs. You have to compensate. But at the same time, we'll talk about the offense kind of stale at the plate right now.
Yeah, it was. You know, we would get a hit, and the next guy would get out, and then maybe we'd get a hit or a walk, you know, and the next two guys would just strike out or have bad at-bats. You know, we just need to find ways to put good at-bats together. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we're up trying to swing for the fences every time. I've talked to my guys about that. The most successful guys are up there just looking for singles, just looking for a way to get on, and we need to do a better job, you know, at the plate. Like you said, we've been really inconsistent lately, and I think that's been our main struggle all season. Our defense has been pretty solid. Our pitching's been a little bit shaky at times, but our hitting has just been really inconsistent. We're a team that's capable of going up there and swinging it and staying in a game with a team like Salem Hills and scoring runs like they did on us. But we're not doing it right now. For whatever reason, our approach and our mentality is just not there right now. You know, maybe this little break here that we have this weekend, it'll be good for us to, you know, have a breather. I'm going to try to do something fun with the kids on Friday. They've been wanting to camp out on the field. So we're going to do a little camp out type thing, try to get some pizza and stuff for them, maybe play some wiffle ball, get back to having some fun, you know, a little bit more team camaraderie, team bonding type thing for us, you know, and that might help us out. So, you know, if it might be a case of burnout, you know, it's a long summer. These kids have played a lot of baseball. But for whatever reason, our bats have just been really inconsistent. So that's one thing we really need to focus on going into the state tournament play, and just getting back to playing some helper baseball.
Yeah, when you talk about bat at bats, there's a difference. I know you can't get on base every single time you step to the plate, but I remember talking to your dad about this for the Carbon baseball team. Just logging a quality at bat. If it's an 8 or 9 pitch at bat, just a quality at bat, and that's something that's kind of eluded this team lately.
Yeah, I mean, we really have struggled at the plate, and like you said, just quality at bats are what we need to get to. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, we're going up there, like you said, and getting on base every time. But we've really struggled about swinging at strikes. You know, when we swing at a lot of balls. And when we don't swing, we're taking, you know, fastballs, whatever it is, right down the plate, you know, and it's tough. You look at the statistics on hitting, you know, the deeper you get into counts, the lower your batting averages. So I've tried to pride my guys on, you know, getting up to the plate, and the first good pitch they see, go get it. Go swing at it. Swing early, be aggressive, you know, and that's the best way to get on base. The deeper you get into a count, the harder it is, and, you know, the worse a hitter you are. So we need to get back to being aggressive, especially early in baseball games. Try to jump on a team early. That's what Salem Hills did against us last night. They were swinging early. They had innings where they, you know, first pitch they were swinging. Doesn't matter. They had kids that were going out there just driving the ball on the first pitch. They were sitting right on fastballs. That's what I've tried to talk to my guys about doing, getting back to doing that. I thought we did a good job at that at the beginning of the season, and that's when we were really successful. We were putting runs up, you know. I had a lot of guys in the box score with hits. So we just need to get back to doing that and, like you said, putting quality at-bats together.
We're being joined again right now by Helper American Legion manager Dakota Cincinnatus. Dakota, let's talk about pitching, the pitching aspect of it. You give up 7 runs with a team basically of all-stars. I mean, that's doable. You can win games, and you guys have done that this year. You've found a variety of ways to win games. Has anything changed on the mound? I mean, we talk about the inconsistencies at the plate, but has anything changed from the pitcher's mound?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think we've kind of had a little bit of a roller coaster with our pitchers, too. We've definitely had our highs and definitely had our lows this season. It's just really been up and down with them. You don't know what you're going to get day to day. We've had a lot of the same kids on the mound, and, you know, one outing's completely different than the other. So it's just night and day right now. We need to find some consistency on the mound as well. You know, starting on top of hitters, throwing strikes, you know, and it makes it a lot easier on yourself and on your team when you're on top of hitters and, you know, the count's in your favor. You can throw pitches that you want. Lately, we've been falling behind in counts, you know, starting behind hitters, 1-0 counts, 2-0 counts, and then we're having to pitch behind and we're, you know, trying to get balls over the plate, and that's when we're getting hurt because hitters are expecting that. So, you know, just finding some consistency all around with our bats, on the mound, with our defense, everything. We just need to be a little bit more consistent going into this next week with the state tournament. So that's something we're going to work on this week as well. I need to get some more guys on the mound and get them some time in practice, throwing some bullpens in that, and throwing a little bit more live against each other. So that's something I want to work on this week as well, so I can get some guys on the mound and get some things tuned out. So
yeah, when you take a look at the amount of pitchers you have going into the state tournament, do you feel that you have more depth at that position than pretty much any team that you've seen so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I have a lot of pitchers. It's probably the most pitchers maybe I've been a part of with the team playing even. So I got a lot of arms out there. I mean, almost every guy on my team can throw. That doesn't mean they've thrown for us this summer. I've tried to do a good job of getting guys some innings so they're ready to go when we need them. But there's some guys that haven't gotten as many innings as I would like to get them. But I need everybody to be ready to go going into the state tournament. You know, there's pitch count rules, you know, with days rest and everything. So I'm not going to be able to throw guys a lot. So we're going to need all of our pitchers to be ready, and we're going to need to be clicking on all cylinders on the mound.
From a health standpoint, everything pretty good?
Yeah. From what I understand, most of my guys are healthy. I haven't had any complaints with arms or, you know, any sort of injuries. They've all been pretty well taken care of. So we should be healthy and ready to go going into the state tournament.
I know the season started off great for this team, and actually coming out of the 4th of July moratorium, things were pretty good once again. I would assume in the summer it's easy for high school kids to get a little complacent, and maybe when you get towards the end of the regular season, maybe that happens. I don't know. You guys have played a lot of baseball. I know it's not nearly as much as it used to be, but nonetheless, when the games actually start counting again, I mean, it's winter go home time now. I'm sure you're going to see a different beast out of this team.
Yeah, I mean, they come fresh off a high school season, you know, where they play 20-plus games there. And all they have is a week or so break, 2-week break, before, you know, we're right back into rolling for the summer. So it is a lot of baseball. Like you said, it used to be a lot more. You know, I think these guys They don't understand how much baseball used to be in the summer. You know, 40 games are around there, you know. But nonetheless, you know, it is a lot of baseball and it is a lot of work. It's a lot of practice time. It's a lot of being out in the sun. The same type of thing every day. It can get old, you know. It can get, you know, really repetitive. But, you know, I think these kids will do a good job of being prepared, you know, and going into the week. You know, I think a lot of them are hungry to get to the state tournament and to prove, you know, really how good they are. So I'm looking for that, you know, that switch to kind of be flipped on, you know, postseason switch. So we'll see what happens ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun as far as the coaching staff goes. I'm sure you guys are ready for the tournament as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think we put ourselves in a pretty good, you know, situation, whether it's a one seed or a two seed out of our league. We put ourselves in a good situation going into the state tournament with the teams that we should face here right off the bat. But it's baseball, you know, anything can happen on any day with baseball. So we need to show up ready to play no matter who we're facing, no matter what their record is. Everybody's 0-0 after, you know, this weekend. So it's 0-0 records going into the state tournament. And that's how I'm trying to treat that with our kids. Fresh season. So everything we've done to this point, we need to put behind us, whether it's been good or whether it's been bad. And it just needs to all be good and positive things from here on out.
Well, Coach, it is a pleasure to get you back in and talk about the Helper Squad. Thank you again for making time. We'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, that's Helper American Legion manager Dakota Cincinnatus right here on Drive Time Sports. When we return, we'll move over to Hollywood. It was 25 years ago this year that the movie Blue Chips, starring Nick Nolte, Shaquille O'Neal, and Anthony Hardaway, was released. And when we return, we're going to be joined by Anthony C. Hall. He played the role of Tony in Blue Chips. He'll talk about the making of it and a little of the behind the scenes and why 25 years later, this movie continues to have a cult following. That's coming up next on this edition of Drive Time Sports.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Throw it down! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios, and I am thrilled to bring in our next guest. This is going to be a lot of fun. For those who are unaware, 25 years ago this year, Blue Chips was released. It's kind of a cult classic. Nick Nolte, Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Hardaway. We'll talk about the story in a little bit more with our next guest. He was also in the movie. He is Anthony C. Hall, known as Tony Hall as well. He played the role of Tony in Blue Chips. And Tony, first off, it is a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you so much for taking out the time.
Yo, thank you, brother. And yo, let's not forget Matt Nover. He was one of the leads also. Great basketball player, and he turned out to be a good actor as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. As far as that goes, you know, if we go back 25 years ago, what do you remember about Blue Chips 25 years later?
25 years ago, I don't remember a whole bunch because I was 25 years. I'm just joking. You know what? We just had a really good time filming that movie. Lunches with before we started filming, just my lunches with Nick Nolte, with Mr. Bobby Knight, learning more about William Friedkin because I had no idea who William Friedkin was as a young actor. And then once I learned, I was like, oh, The Exorcist? The First Connection? Oh my God, this dude is, this is a great director. So it's just all those little things, you know, that made that a great experience.
You know, going back and looking at it, Tony, now, you know, 25 years later, I remember watching it when the movie first came out. Did you ever anticipate the impact that movie would have? Because, I mean, really, when you go back and you look at the storyline in general, Blue Chips was pretty real. I mean, it was pretty true. And at that particular time, it wasn't as if a sports movie in this regard was actually highly sought after. People were kind of looking for the heroic sports movies, you know, the Rudies at that kind of time. This was completely different.
Right, yeah, and a lot of people thought it wouldn't work because of the storyline. But again, it's a classic because it's taking place to this day with kids being paid one and dones and all that stuff. I mean, all the stuff is taking place today.
Yeah, it really is. And I know that you have a background in basketball as well. How did you land a role in the movie Blue Chips?
Well, I played my college basketball in Hawaii at Chaminade University of Honolulu. And then I played with under Merv Lopes. I guess he was some kind of big coach out there in Hawaii. But once I left college, I came home. I came moved to Los Angeles, moved back to Los Angeles, and I wasn't doing a lot of stuff. I was kind of floating around, trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. And I used to play basketball at the Hollywood YMCA, where Ron Shelton, who wrote the film, worked out as well. So it's myself, Denzel Washington, Arsenio Hall, Wesley Snipes, Silk Cozart, Kevin Benton, a lot of these guys, a lot of actors worked out there. And I wasn't acting during that time. And kind of Denzel and all kind of those guys kind of got together and suggested I get into the acting stuff. And I was like, hell, you got, I'm being cocky, joking around. You guys can do it. I could do it too. I started off doing a lot of athletic commercials. It was easy for me. I kind of looked like Michael Jordan. I was very athletic, so I could do all those crazy dunks and stuff like that. And then the role of this, and I did a few television shows prior to that, guest roles. But then prior to that, then after that, this Blue Chips thing came up. And so they was doing auditions at the YMCA, where we all worked out at. And so they was auditioning extras. And so I was out there, I was dunking on people, and I was doing all this crazy stuff. And then I thought to myself, I had a few commercials running at the time. I was like, you know what, I really don't want to be an extra in this movie. So I'm just going to leave. So I walked over to Ron Shelton and William Friedkin, and I said, hey, thank them for allowing me to come out to work out with the guys and stuff like that. But I told them I wasn't interested in doing the role of an extra. And William Friedkin asked me, so what did you want to do? I said, I'd rather read for a part. I don't know. I'm still new at this acting stuff. So I said, so he asked me what role I want to read for. I hadn't read the script, and I had no clue. So I flipped through the script really quick, because he called the casting director, they gave me a script. I flipped through it really quick, and I saw this guy named Tony. I was like, forget it, my name's Tony. So I said, I want to read for Tony. It was just that simple.
That's a tremendous story. And for those who are unaware, Ron Shelton, I mean, he has written a lot of great stuff, a lot of great sports movies, Bull Durham and White Man Can't Jump as well. And I know, not getting too far off base, but White Man Can't Jump, it was kind of, if I'm not mistaken, Ron Shelton was writing Blue Chips, and he took White Man Can't Jump from Blue Chips, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I think he did, was it Bull Durham? No?
Yeah, it was Bull Durham, yeah.
Yeah, so I go on. So they set up an audition for me. Again, I'm very green at this acting stuff. I know commercial stuff, easy. Just dunk the basketball, don't say nothing, drink the drink, and walk away. Easy stuff. So now I have the audition. So Silk Cozart helped me with my audition. He helped me study and all that kind of stuff. So I walk into the casting office, and then there's like seven guys sitting there waiting to read for Tony. And I walk past them, everybody greets me because they know me cause from the whole basketball stuff. And I walk in, and the casting director asks me to come in immediately. So I walk in past these guys who had already been sitting there, and I get halfway through the dialogue. William Friedkin says, F it, you got the role. I was in shock. I'm like, what did you just say? I wasn't even finished with the scene. He said, you got the role. And I walked out of there and shot. I looked at him, high-fiving the guy. I was like, hey, good luck to you guys. This is already landed. So that's how I ended up getting the role. A lot of people assume because me and Shaquille were best friends that I got the role because of him. But that wasn't the case.
And that was going to be my next question. Were you great friends with Shaq before the filming of Blue Chips?
Well, we weren't like tight, close-knit friends, but we all worked out at UCLA with Magic Johnson and Reggie Miller and all those guys during the summer. And so we became friends during that time. How we became friends was during the game, someone had taken a jump shot, and I was a high flyer. And I went up for the rebound, and Shaquille jumped over my back and dunked the ball and then kicked me up and kicked his legs out and kicked me in the back. So now I'm a little mad. So 4 or 5 plays later, Derek Martin, who played at UCLA, gave me a pass baseline, and Shaquille's had his back turned towards me. And I went up, and I was about to kick him in his back. I dunked the ball. Bah! I was going up to dunk the ball, and Shaquille turned around the last minute, blocked the shot, and threw me to the ground. And ever since then, we became friends. I didn't get that dunk off, but we became friends.
Did you know going in for your casting audition for the role of Tony that if you got the role, you would be playing alongside Shaquille O'Neal and Anthony Hardaway?
No, I didn't know who the cast was at that point. I had no idea who the cast was.
And then we have to talk about one of the more iconic scenes in the movie. Nick Nolte, who plays Coach Pete Bell, he goes to your dorm room. He wants answers. He wants to know if you were involved in a point-shaving incident. I read a couple of stories about this, Tony, and how many times you guys had to you film this, 6 or 7 different takes, and you thought you were doing fine, but the director didn't think you were. And I'll let you tell the story, but I have read a little bit about this. It's one of the most iconic scenes in the movie.
Yeah, but this is because it was the pivotal point of the film. Nolte and I had rehearsed with Mr. Friedkin over and over and over again, and I gave them the exact same performance I did in rehearsal because Friedkin said it was great, good, move on, and let's go shoot this. So and when we got into the dorm at UCLA, we started doing the scene, and I gave him the exact same performance. I didn't change anything. And so Freaking would run through the door like, "Hey, Tony, what the hell is going on? I need you to get my scene." You're screaming and yelling. I'm like, "What is this guy talking about?" So I'm looking at Nick Nolte. I'm like, "Nolte, what is he talking about?" Nolte's like, "You know, I don't know, Tony. I don't. So you know how Nolte's voice is. And I'm like, "What is he talking about?" So action again. Pow. He does the exact same thing because I give him the exact same performance. He's not giving me any direction. He's just telling me, get my scene, boo, and I'm giving him the same performance. I'm like, I haven't changed anything since the rehearsal. So I guess take 5, 6 or whatever, he started yelling at me, "Tony, you trust me?" I said, "Yeah, I trust you. Yes, I love you." He's like, "I love you. You're going to be a star for this," which I'm still waiting on. "You're going to be a star for this. You trust me?" I was like, "Yeah, I trust you." And all of a sudden, pow, 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 he slaps me. So now at this point, I know where he wants me to go, but I'm mad that he couldn't verbally tell me where he wanted to go after all these takes. And in my head, I'm going, okay, I get what you want, but if you touch me again, I'm tearing this dorm up. We're gonna have problems. Because Nolte just turned his back like he didn't know what to say. And that's how that all took place. I mean, I love Freaking to this day, because I'm not the only person he did it to. I think he did it to Angie Everhart and Jade, and he also did it to the young lady, Linda Blair in The Exorcist. So I'm in good company.
Yeah, no question, especially when you bring up Linda Blair in The Exorcist. That scene with Nick Nolte throughout this entire movie, and I don't know that Nick Nolte was necessarily a basketball guy per se, but Tony, you were right there alongside with him. I mean, this guy filled the role of a college basketball coach to a T, didn't he?
Yeah, but his tutelage was amazing, though, because he had Marcus Johnson, who was right there alongside of him. My friend Kevin Benton, Silk Kosar, who was always by his side. All these guys are basketball guys, and all of them also played at the Hollywood YMCA because there was a lot of us there. Then we had dinners with he and myself and Freaking and Loki. We had dinners with Bobby Knight. So Bobby Knight was giving him a lot of tutelage. So he had so many people in his ear on how to portray that role. He was like a sponge. He just took it all in.
And again, he did a phenomenal job. Speaking of Bobby Knight, Western, the fictitious school that you guys play for, takes on Bobby Knight, number 1 ranked Indiana. And of course, Shaq comes up with a big dunk, the alley-oop at the buzzer from Anthony Hardaway. You guys win the game, and that's a scene that, again, it's pretty iconic in the movie. I was reading up on this, and there's a lot of NBA talent. Bobby Hurley's out there on the court. Calbert Chaney's out there on the court. I mean, there's a lot of NBA elite basketball talent on the court. You guys played an actual game during that scene, right? It wasn't just scene for scene.
Actual game. They set up like 15 cameras all around the venue. And that was a high school shot in Indiana. It looks like a university, but Indiana is big on their basketball. They set up like 16 cameras around the stadium, and we just played basketball. That's it.
Except for the last
play up to Shaquille getting it back to a dunk.
Speaking of this scene, and I'll let you tell the story, Bobby Knight got competitive during this game as well, right? I mean, his coaching attitude came out.
He was definitely not trying to let us win. He wanted to win it. And in his huddles, we was Hollywood, all bad words he could come up with. he wasn't playing moving to these Hollywood guys, let's say. Not in Bobby Ward's terms, but yeah. So he was seriously trying to beat us. But we had Penny, we had Shaq, Nigel McGill. We had some great players on our team. So, we went back and forth. And he didn't want us to get that last backdoor play. So at some point, he was stopping. He's like, no, they're not getting that. We're not giving them that, no. And it was just like the last scene, which was the only setup scene in the whole film, and he didn't want us to do it. Until he finally, we were like, Mr. Knight, this is a movie. This is not real basketball.
How many times did you guys shoot that last scene?
Oh, it went on for probably like 3 or 4 time attempts because he didn't want us to do it.
Yeah. And on the opposite side, you have Nick Nolte, who's not a basketball guy. Was he competitive at all in the coaching realm here?
No, Nolte was just in character. He was just in character. So not competitive like Mr. Knight, not at all. But he was he was just in character.
Tony, when production is wrapped and you finally get to watch the movie for the very first time, what was your reaction, not only to your role and your performance in the movie, but also watching it all unfold with well-known basketball players and well-known coaches? Rick Pitino's in this movie, Bobby Knight's in this movie, and then again, the overall theme. When you finally saw the finished product, what was your initial reaction?
You know what? I was happy to be a part of that film. Because of all the names you mentioned and I've mentioned throughout this interview, we're around some amazing people. I think the only critique that I had after all these years, I wish we could have shot the basketball a little differently because we never saw a whole play, as a person who played the game, we never saw a whole play revolve. We never saw a hard scream. All we saw was legs, arms, a dunk or shot, and some voiceover on top of it. It didn't show the full game and how it was, as if you was watching NCAA game. And I wish it would have been more like that.
Blue Chips is still very, very popular. And I don't know too many people that have seen the movie that have told me they don't like Blue Chips. To me, it's got that cult following. It's a cult classic. Would you have expected that when you filmed this movie back in 1994? And what's your reaction to that when people say, oh, yeah, you were the guy in Blue Chips?
Not at all. I didn't expect it at all. It's kind of like I met Brandon Jennings. He's played in the NBA. He's a young fella. He's like, Blue Chips was his favorite movie. I run into a lot of former NBA players, current NBA players who were saying Blue Chips was their favorite movie. I was like, really? You guys are like Hoosiers? I'm just joking. But yeah, so a lot of people, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
And I know, Tony, outside of Blue Chips, you have a lot of other projects. You and I were talking before we jumped on air. You were in Gang Related with Tupac. You were in Forget Paris with Billy Crystal. To me, that's one of the funniest basketball movies and loosely based on basketball. I know you were the producer of Q, which was inspired by true stories as well or realistic events. I mean, so all in all, you have a lot of other projects, and you're actually working or towards the end of one right now, correct?
Yeah, well, Q is the one that I'm working on now. I actually shot that as a short. It was inspired by my high school friend, Ben Wilson, from Chicago. I'm sure you heard of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Wilson was the number one basketball player in the nation, was killed in his senior year in high school. So my story was inspired by that. And as well as I'm, you know, pitching show ideas with another one of my best friends, Devon Shepherd, who was a writer and showrunner on shows like Weeds and House of Lies and Dear Mary Jane and things like that. So just pitching stuff. And then Shaquille and I, actually, a couple of days ago, we were talking about doing some distribution, finding a project and finding distribution for them. So.
No, it's, I find it very, and I'm sure people that, you know, love the movie Blue Chips, you know, the characters took on, you know, in your mind that truly existed. I'm sure it's comforting to know that you and Shaquille O'Neal are friends. I found that very fascinating that you guys are that great of friends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're the closest. Like, it's like my little brother, because I'm older. So he's like my little brother, big as he is. But yeah, so, I mean, we work together, we hang out together, we're always together. It is what it is. But without question, it's definitely a blessing that we still have that relationship this long, after this many years.
Definitely. Anthony C. Hall, Tony Hall, a pleasure to get you on the show to talk a little bit about your memories of Blue Chips and the cult classic it's become yet 25 years later. Is there a way that the listeners can keep up on your works?
Yeah, you know, they can always, my Instagram is Anthony Hall, H-A-L-L, underscore Chicago. And I think my Facebook is Anthony C. Hall. I think that's what it is, something like that. But yeah, that's what they can always follow me. Yeah, follow me. Follow me. I need some followers.
Yeah, follow Anthony C. Hall. Again, he played Tony in the movie Blue Chips. Anthony, such a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you so much for the time.
No, thank you, brother. I appreciate you guys.
We've got a break one more time. We'll return to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskering on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
Back to the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I'll bring in Travis Anderson for the last couple of minutes. Talk to Anthony C. Hall about Blue Chips. You a fan of Blue Chips?
Yes, great movie.
This is
like
a great
that movie.
Movie
a lot.
Like I said, it was ahead of its time.
It was. And that's where we are at, basically, in college basketball right now.
Yeah.
And that movie, you know, kind of detailed, you know, what goes on.
You know, there were a lot of facts about that movie that we didn't have the time to get into. Shaq, when he took that role originally, his agent said Shaq couldn't take any money. And so they kind of changed the character in a sense. Remember, they gave Shaq a car. Shaq didn't want the car in the movie, remember?
Yep.
So they were worried about Shaq's image, and rightfully so at that stage in Shaq's career. I get that. But nonetheless, that movie was well ahead of its time. Ed O'Neill's fantastic in that as the reporter. Nick Nolte as Pete Bell. Anthony Hall as Tony. Shaq as Neon Badeau. I think it's a fantastic movie. What's your favorite sports movie?
Major League.
You're in a room. You're going to be locked in a room for 2 months, and you can watch one sports movie on repeat.
I'm going Major League. I love that movie. It's a classic. It never gets old. The jokes, everything goes with it. I'm taking Major League.
From a comedy perspective, it's hard to argue. I like The Replacements an awful lot.
Good one as well.
The Replacements was great. I'm not a Rudy fan. You know, and look,
I am not a Field of Dreams fan. I think that movie stinks.
I'm not a Field of Dreams fan. A little overrated.
I think that movie's horrible.
Going back to Rudy, if you listen to the show enough, you know I'm a Notre Dame homer, and you're probably thinking, how can you not like Rudy? It's not factual.
He's a fraud.
There's no facts in that movie. It's not factual. Is it a great story? Yeah, it's a great story. But if you're looking at it as if you're looking at that movie as something that truly happened, no, it may have been inspired by true events, but that's not the true story. Favorite sports movie of all time? I gotta go Rocky. If I can only watch one sports movie over and over, I gotta go Rocky. And you can give me any Rocky except Rocky 5. And that includes the Creeds. I love the Creeds as well. You get rid of Rocky V, and Rocky V's not even that bad, but I'll take any of the Rockies. That's got to be my favorite sports movie.
Can't go wrong with Rocky. I'm going Major League.
Yeah, Major League's funny. Major League's great. A very entertaining interview again with Anthony C. Hall on the show today. Tomorrow we'll be back in to wrap things up for the entire week. We can give you some updates on day baseball. And Travis, I know you're a lot like me. You just don't get a whole lot of work done when there's day baseball. And we have games galore. Right now, we do have one game going on. It is an important one. Yankees, Rays. The Yankees have pulled away. They now lead 6-2 going into the middle of the seventh inning. The Rays took the first game of this series. The Yankees fired back. They picked up a win in the second game, 8-3, and right now 6-2. The Yankees are going to have complete control of this division. They'll be 7 up on Tampa Bay by the end of the night. Very similar to what the Dodgers are doing in the NL West. Are we on a collision course for the Dodgers-Yankees?
I picked the Dodgers and Astros at the start of the year, and I picked the Dodgers to win in 6, so I'm going to stick with that.
So you're still not buying on the Yankees?
No, I think when it's all said and done and Houston gets healthy, I like their pitching a little bit more. Maybe the Yankees make a move at the deadline. I'm going Dodgers-Astros, Dodgers in 6.
Out of time on this edition of the show. Do not forget, you can log on to CastleCountryRadio.com and listen to Drive Time Sports on demand. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buskerini. Be safe. We are out.